Get a Rockstar car park just 2 minutes from the terminal at Melbourne Airport's new short and sweet parking zone. Struggling with back pain? Time to try Kieser. Visit kieser.com.au. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
We might ring Anne back when we get a chance. Anne has texted this. Let's go back to wooden stops and woolen jumpers. The girls really must be grateful for being allowed to play AFL. You've misinterpreted what we said there, Anne. But we won't get into it now because Hoyne's here. But we might ring Anne and have a chat on air about it because we are massive supporters and we continue to demonstrate that. It's just the haste sometimes is what we get a bit bemused with. Mm. But debate for another time.
I wouldn't mind going back to wooden stops and woolen jumpers too.
Itchy.
They were very itchy, those
woolen jumpers.
You're quite right.
Statistics in footy are here and they are staying and they're not going anywhere, Wisp, because what it is then, it is up to each and every one of us to determine and ascertain how much weight we put in the statistics.
Yes.
That's your right as a consumer of statistical fodder. Champion Data are the biggest players in that game. Daniel Hoyne's the biggest man at Champion Data. That's what I'm saying anyway. He joins us in the studio. Okay, Hoyne.
G'day, guys. How you going?
We're good. Ahead of another very big year, of which Champion will be very, very much a part of it. Are you surprised, bemused, outraged about some of the criticism that gets directed at you and your colleagues?
No, I wouldn't say surprised and not outraged at all. I mean, as you said before, it's not for everyone. Mm-hmm. And we totally understand that. And our role is to try and explain to, you know, how we actually come to that conclusion.
Yes.
And you may or may not actually agree with how we actually got there, but there's a reason. There's always a reason for, you know, why a number is a number, and the list ratings, are exactly the same.
Yeah. So when you put your list out, it's not just four blokes sitting around a table going, "Oh, geez, where do you reckon the Cats defend?" I'll go 12. I mean, there is a formula. Now, again, you don't have to agree with it, and you may disagree violently, and you might say, "Well, that's a load of rubbish." That's fine. These are the numbers. Make of them what you will, Wisp.
That's right, Geelong. Okay, I'm outraged. Champion Data had them as the 16th rated defensive unit. How did you come at that?
So basically, a quick snapshot of how the ratings actually come about. It's based over a two-year period.
Yeah, so 2 years, yep.
Yeah, a two-year period. And what it is, it's based on individual talent. It doesn't take into account anything to do with how a team plays. So it doesn't take into account how a team, you know, defends, behind the footy or with the footy. So we saw last year that Geelong set up behind the ball with their controlled, slow, go-wide ball movement.
Yep. So that means they're hard to score against.
Correct. And it worked a treat. But that's not how, you know, the ratings, you know, favour individuals, if you like. So if I'm Geelong, I'm looking at that going, okay, the way that we defend is not suited to this rating system. So hence why we're 16th. It's got absolutely nothing. It's not a criticism of Chris Scott and his game style and their defence. It's just the way that they move the footy is not suited to the actual rating system.
Okay, so your rating system is based on the individuals that fill up the slots in their back six.
Correct. So the rating system is based around how you win it, where you win it, and what you do with it.
Mm. Right.
So if you win the footy in an uncontested situation and go sideways to another uncontested teammate, you're not going to get recognised because your teammates, because your team isn't actually in a better position.
Well, and that's right, because a bloke can play halfback flank as a spare man and chip sideways.
Correct.
19 kicks out of 20 and hit the bloke 15 metres on his own and be rated. But then we go, okay, well, he's 198% kicking efficiency. Well, no, he's not. He can kick 15 metres.
He's expected to be.
Yes.
He's expected to be. So whereas, you know, if you're, you know, a Patrick Cripps or a Patrick Dangerfield, you're winning the footy in a contested situation, releasing it to a teammate in a better situation, you're going to come up high on the rating. So if you think about that, the way that Geelong defended when they won the footy in the back half last year, slow, go wide, go to an uncontested teammate, you're not going to get recognised in this rating system. But they defended as a team probably better than most in the competition.
Okay, so Richmond number one.
Yep.
Why were they number one?
So on the complete flip side to how Geelong defended, Richmond more aggressive with ball in hand from the back half. You know, they were the number one scoring team from the defensive half last year, wanted to go corridor, wanted to take the game on, which is favourable in this rating system. So two teams who were probably the best defensive units in the competition defended in different ways. One is suited to how this rating system works. One's not. So
make of it what you will.
If you're Chris Scott, tick. The way that you defended, that's fine. It's not suited to this. Don't get too concerned by it. Damien Hardwick, the way you defended, tick. And it is favourable towards this rating system.
12th West Coast, Giants midfield. Yep. That raised my eyebrows too because I thought, okay, well, you can't really do what they have done over the course of a season without having a strong midfield. You look at the names that are in that midfield and they're a really powerful group of players, yet your ranking had them at 12.
Yep, correct. So the midfield rating that was released takes into account ruckman. So if we take away ruckman in that rating, GWS come up to 6th in the competition. So the reason why they're 12th, and I think it was talked about last year, Mumford sort of struggled towards the back end. They've gone out to pick up Sam Jacobs. They've recognised that that ruck position is an issue for them. Take away that ruck issue, and then you're looking at Ward and Cornelio and Whitfield, who are all rated elite in the competition. Josh Kelly is just outside that bracket. So the midfield group itself is actually quite strong, taking away the ruck position.
We've got lots of questions that are coming through off the text, and we'll throw the lines open in a moment, and you can answer them better than anyone. A lot of it is, how did you get Melbourne so wrong last year? They were rated number one
on the list. Yep.
And so, how do you, when you look back at that, what's your answer?
Well, I think
it's based on previous year.
Yeah, no, correct. So 2018, they from a numbers point of view, they were so strong. Probably should have finished top four at the end of the home and away season. Finished top four at the end of the actual season itself. And I think that when we're looking back, and I don't mean to be smarty, but I think everyone that was doing their predictions for 2019 would have had Melbourne in the top, yep, 3, 4, 5 teams in the competition. So that's one example where, we look back on and Melbourne had a disappointing season, and that's fine. Like, that's, we're not going to lose sleep over it.
And therein lies, my answer to some of the criticism. The screaming off this text, how could you get Melbourne so wrong? And you turn around to them and say, well, where did you have them?
Yeah, and that's fine. Like, that's okay. But I think these list ratings, they have to be used as a guide.
Mm.
A guide. They're not the be all and end all. It's just a guide, and it's more the team stuff. I think is I get it is the actual talking point, but it's more from an individual point of view. So the individual stuff comes together to give a team rating, but look at the individual stuff more than the actual team.
Baz is on the road. He's got a question for Winnie. G'day, Baz.
Yeah. Good morning. With all the stats we have in the game today, why don't we comes to the All-Australian team, there's so much conjecture of midfielders playing in positions where they don't normally play, for example, on the wing and so forth. Why don't we have a minimum time spent for players that have played on a wing, for example, that will be eligible to play on the wing, like a Midge Robertson, for example, plays on the wing and misses out on the All-Australian side.
Yeah, well, that's not a question for champion. That's a question for the All-Australian selectors, how they go about selecting their side. But it is difficult when you start to look at all those midfielders trying to slot them in. That's not one that Hoiny can answer for you, Baz, unfortunately.
You can answer this, though, because I've asked you the question about Jordan Degoe. I set you a little bit of homework. There's always that debate. Where do you play Jordan Degoe? Do you play him as a forward or do you play him in the midfield? Statistically, what does it say about the way that Collingwood play him and where they should play him?
So if we have a look at the last 2 years of what Degoe has done, and his work as a pure forward is up there with the best in the competition. If you think back to the 2018 final series against West Coast, that first final, he starts as a midfielder. They they battle a little bit. Semi-final, prelim, he goes to full forward, dominates in those two finals. And we've seen him do that over the last 2 years. His role as a midfielder at Collingwood over the last 2 years, Collingwood actually win a centre clearance 46% of the time he actually attends a centre bounce. That's number one at Collingwood. So he's the most impactful,
There you go. So that's just a simplification of it.
Mm.
He goes in, that's when they win more percentage of centre bounce clearances.
Yeah.
So there's the conundrum.
Yeah. So what do you do with him? It's a good question. He's never played more than 25% midfield time across a season.
25%?
25% midfield time across a season. So that's it. Yeah, so
how does that compare with Dusty then?
So Dusty, if you think back to 2014, I think I was having a look at this yesterday, 2014, I think he was about 35 or 40% midfield time. So that's his lowest percentage. So we do compare Martin and Degoe.
Always.
And I get that. But, the roles that they play, I think that they actually are quite different.
So we categorise De Gea then as a forward, not a midfielder.
Correct. Yep.
Tell me this, Daniel Hoyne from Champion Data. When we get the shot of the coaches in the coaches' box, there's 23 people in the box, and a large percentage of them are monitoring stats, not really looking at the game. They're monitoring what's going on from a statistic. What are the three things they'd be taking most, notice of, so that they can relay it back to, if it's Cawthorne, Elster, Clarko, that we're down, 15 in contested. But what are the ones that the clubs rate the highest?
So I think each club is different, but I think what we're learning, more and more, as an industry, when it comes to numbers, is keeping it simple. And I think
A lot of people would laugh at.
Yeah, because there's so much out there that you can actually just overdo it, and then you can actually overcomplicate it. I think
paralysis by analysis. Yeah.
Correct. I like that. And then so if we have a look at certain clubs, for instance, they actually do keep it simple. So whether that's just looking at raw score sources, see where we're actually getting scored against, what we can do to actually.
So just say that score sources. So where they originate from?
Yep. So where they originate from? Are we
scoring from the back, or you getting from clearance?
Yep. Correct. Yep. Are we scoring from stoppages? Are we scoring from turnovers? Are we getting scored against both ways? And where are our actual scores coming from? And then, I think the public would actually be surprised that it gets back to just the basics of, contested footy again, clearances again. And where on the ground are we actually getting hurt?
As boring as that might be, that's exactly what the coaches keep talking about, don't they?
So, Tim, the in-depth stuff is more during the week, not game day.
I want you to hold your question for after break.
It's about Hawthorn, and it's fascinating.
Yes. So what you've seen from Hawthorn, which Hoyne's going to share with us, and then the rest of the footy world will run with, but that's okay. Before we do, Brady on the road has got a question that I think most people would want to ask at some stage. Go on, Brady.
How are you, boys? Hey, so I just heard you say that the list ratings are more subjective to the individual players. And you've got Majak Dore rated as elite for the 2020 season.
Yeah, no, that's a fair question. And I think if we get back to the principle of it's around where you win it, how you win it, and what you do with it, his 2018 season as a key defender was actually rated highly in this situation. His intercept marking was quite often 25 to 30 metres out from goal, and more often than not in the corridor zone. So it's a significant contested mark win for North Melbourne. So that's a high tick.
So that gets weighted higher. So correct. You go, how in the hell, it's because not only is the intercept marking, but where he's doing it, and then what stage of the game do these things all get taken?
Not really.
Is that just goals?
No. Yeah, so not really. So where he's winning it, so 25, 30 metres out from goal, if you think of that, if you think of a key defender taking an intercept mark in that area of the ground, that's a significant win. That's a huge release. And then what he actually does with it, his ball use is actually quite impressive, which might take people by surprise. So he's winning it in difficult situations, and then actually using it well, so then setting up North Melbourne offensively.
Hoyne's in the studio for a McCafe coffee catch-up, talking stats, try the new spicy McChicken range from Macca's. Tim put a question to Dan Hoyne about Hawthorn. Are we going to see a different Hawthorn this year? And Wispy, you got your pipe out.
Staggering.
He's smoking his pipe because he thinks he stumbled onto something. Stay on the line. We'll get to you as quickly as we can after the break. The Hawks. I was born bold.
Get a Rockstar car park just 2 minutes from the terminal at Melbourne Airport's new short and sweet parking zone. Struggling with back pain? Time to try Kieser. Visit kieser.com.au. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Dan Hoyne's in the studio from Champion Data. That's the data that every AFL club uses and pours over. And again, as we say, you make of it what you will, but it is very impressive stuff when you dig into it. John from Taylor's Lakes before I let the wisp loose. G'day, Johnny.
G'day, boys. How are you going?
We're well, thank you.
Daniel, I don't agree with your stats, purely and simply because I believe you said this morning that you rate Brisbane Lions as the best centre line or best centre
midfield
in the league.
Yeah.
The best midfield. And Daniel, how can you say that when Richmond won the premiership and Brisbane Lions centre line or midfield did not get them over the line to win a flag? Now, the reason why I say that is because in football, there's a lot more to it. A lot of people might agree with it. It's only my opinion. But do you take stats for verbal encouragement from Cochin or Martin, or a little hand signal or a pat on the backside, or things that are really, really important in football to get the team up and running. And that's why, and that's another reason why I think so highly of Toby Nankervis as a ruckman. He mightn't do the stats that you take, but there's a lot of stats that go unnoticed that make a good football side. And I reckon you should start with stats, the second best, because the premiership side, whether it's Footscray, whether it's Collingwood,
Johnny,
whether it's Richmond.
We got you, but I don't want to be rude, Johnny, but I've got a whole heap of callers here. We get your point of your taking. How do you account for the intangibles that Johnny's saying? You know, the eye test. The bum taps and the encouraging word.
Unfortunately, we can't, Gaz. It's just pure on-field performance that we can capture through through data.
So, okay. Yeah. Well, Tim?
Okay, go. I was told very early in the piece that Hawthorn were probably going to play a different brand of football this year. They'd sped everything up. This was a track watcher. A guy gone out there and
watched
my track watcher. I employ him. He goes out there and watches all the clubs for me. All right. He came back to me and he said, look, Hawthorn are going to play fast in 2020. Clarkson's just turned this thing on its ear. There's only one sample game so far, but what is it telling us about the way they played against St Kilda last week?
So how they played against St Kilda, I think you're absolutely on the money here. And you know, as you said, we have to just be a little bit cautious that it is one Marsh series game. But there has been evidence over time that when a team significantly changes what they're doing in the Marsh series compared to what they did the year before, that actually goes through to the actual season.
But it has to be significant. It
has to be significant.
So was this a significant change?
This is extreme.
Extreme?
Yeah, this is extreme.
Look at the whisk with his pipe.
So if we had a look at what Hawthorn did against St Kilda on the weekend, they went through the corridor when exiting D50 46% of the time.
Right, I'll put it in layman's terms. So out of the back line, they went up the guts.
Yep, 46% of the time compared to last year, 16%.
Wow.
30% increase in one game. And their mark play on rate in the back half of the ground was 41%. Last year, it was 31%, so up 10%. So they're extreme numbers from one sample. So it'll be really interesting to see what they do in their next Mars Series game.
That's not a subtle shift, though, is it?
No. That's something to actually
shift.
Take. Yeah.
And
yeah,
what can happen in a Marsh series is when you try and implement a new style or certain aspects of it, you can say, listen, this is the time to experiment with this. You may not do this in the home and away. You might not be as aggressive out of the back line through the middle of the ground. Mm. But tonight, we want you to have a crack. So that might account for the 30% change. But it does indicate, perhaps, as Tim says, they're going to be a bit more aggressive.
Yep, absolutely.
Michael's from Roxburgh Park. G'day, Michael.
Hey, good morning, guys. Dan, now I've been listening to your reasoning on why you score the way you do. You mentioned about the two-year spread and you mentioned that it factors in, the two seasons and it's on individual talent. Then I heard your reasoning about Magic Door being rated elite, even though he didn't play all last year. And then I look at the best bog average forward in the game in Tom Lynch. How could you rate him average?
So if we had a look at Tom Lynch's season, purely from about round 11 or 12 onwards last year, he would probably be in that elite category for a key forward. But I think we're having a look over the two-year period, and at Gold Coast in 2018, he did battle a little bit and probably more so in the first half of last year, for Richmond coming back from injury. Mm. And we knew that he was obviously going to take his time, and then he flew home. So expect his rating next year to significantly change if he continues.
So that's a simple explanation for Michael, is that it's based over 2 years. Mm. And for a year and a half, a year he battled a bit, a half he battled just to find his form and range at Richmond, and the back half he was elite. So this is encapsulates why I could look at it and go, don't get outraged. He is elite. We know he's elite. You know he's elite. But over 2 years, for whatever reason, change of club and injury, then his numbers come down a bit.
And am I right in saying that the elite is, obviously it's taken over the two seasons, but you have to fit into the top 5% of performers at your position?
So it's changed up a little bit this year because we're looking at the top 10% in the competition. So the top 52 players in the competition who have played over 10 games in the two years.
And then you break it down to like a wingman and a small forward and midfielders. So it's specific to the way and the position that you play.
Correct.
Dan Hoyne is with us. Nearly out of time, Hoyne. I'm watching and I love the investment of our audience. They love the footy. It's great. I think this might be the best way to sum it. Stats are like a bikini wisp.
Right.
They show you a lot. They don't show you everything.
Right.
So good. Maybe you should put that on your prospectus, Hoiny. Can you go with that?
Front cover.
Give us one player and one club.
That's like a bikini.
As we head towards the 8:30 news, a lot of fantasy players out there. Have you got a little special for someone?
I think what we saw on the weekend with what Hugh Greenwood did for Gold Coast, I think he's going to be a bargain buy.
Hugh Greenwood?
Yeah. For Gold Coast, I think they got him for a third and a fourth round selection last year, so he's going to be a significant inclusion for them. And just on a small sample size, what Adelaide did on the weekend against Brisbane was actually quite impressive.
Oh, I like it. Hopefully we can...
My man, Dan.
Stay in touch, honey. We can't get to all of your calls and all of your text messages, but hopefully you've got a bit of understanding of where Champion are coming from. Thanks for coming in. Hope it's not the last time.
No, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan.
Try the new Spicy McChicken Range, Elliot Macca's. Keys are struggling with back pain. Time to try Keys. 8:30 news.